Zoom's recording too, and we are ready to go. Brilliant. Right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this special PBIC Gold Teleclass. And today I'm joined by my very good friend, a partner in crime, podcast partner in crime, the wielder of the videos, Alex Wardle. Welcome to the Teleclass, Alex.
Hello. Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Are you tip top?
I'm tip top, mate. Yes. Yes, all good. Just been saying I've made some notes for this call because I think it'd be pretty useful for both of us, and I figured it would be a good idea if I knew what I was talking about, so I
yeah,
should be all ready to go.
And I tell you what, that is as a before we even get into the nuts and bolts of how this year went and what lessons we're going to take forward to next year, I think that simple exercise of writing, of taking the time, you know, getting off the computer, if you like, even, and just picking up a pen and paper, or however you've done it, you might have done it online, but however you've done it, you know, and just writing shit down is like so powerful, you know. And I get my guys to do this, obviously, in the private coaching groups. I get them to do a piece of paper exercise at least every 90 days, you know. If they have a new idea for something, that's what gets done. And it's just unbelievably powerful. Recent diamond, somebody upgraded to diamond, Carol Ashworth, she wrote down a couple of targets for her business as she just joined Diamond, and the targets were to get another two people into her dog trainers academy type thing, and bingo, by the time we got round to doing her first call, she'd done it. And nice. I'm not saying that she would have done it anyway, maybe, but certainly having that focus is and I guess the bigger lesson would be in this we'll probably get onto this later on, but in this you know, ever connected world we live in, and you know, all the different media that you get in online and scrolling and flicking, and this whole screen fatigue thing, which I keep hearing people saying is like going to be a big thing. Well, even now, you know, and I think it really is. And I think the offline, any offline marketing is obviously brilliant, but a bit of just offline planning, even good old fashioned yellow legal pad and a blue pen or whatever it is that you like, what you like to use, you know, is useful. So it's obviously been useful for you too.
Yeah, definitely. I think a big thing that I picked up this year from an event, it might have even been last year, to be fair, but I heard someone say about if you're on the path to being creative, you have to throw away 90% of what you create, and you have to kind of get used to that idea of, you know, creating stuff, but then throwing most of it away to get to the good stuff, you know, like finding the diamond in the rough sort of thing. And I think for a long time, that's kind of gone against the grain of like what I, my sort of natural way of approaching things, because I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and I'm a bit of like, if it's not, you know, if it's not perfect, then there's more to be done kind of thing. So I think even, and this is kind of in hindsight, I even have applied that in the past to things like writing stuff down. Huh. And if it's not like in a nice order, and in a concise, organized layout on a sheet of paper, I kind of look at it and I'm like, oh God, that's awful. It's not organized. Do you know what I mean? But the whole point is that you just write stuff down so that it's out of your brain and you're making sense of what's in your head. Oh. Because my good pal Jordan Peterson says that having thoughts and thinking are two very different things. So you might think that, you know, even if you think that you're quite capable of, you know, planning stuff in your head and you don't particularly need to write stuff down, use spreadsheets and that type of thing, and that may well be true, but I think it just for pretty much everyone, it makes a lot of sense to just get it down on paper so that you can actually see it in the real world. So yeah, definitely. Just I literally did that, what you just said. I've done that. I was in Sainsbury's the other day and there was a £2 cheap and cheerful notepad, and I was like, right, I'm gonna get that and I'm just gonna have it on my desk all the time and right. Every day, and make sure I've got a blank page ready so that I can just write stuff down. So totally agree.
Indeed. And I'm gonna ask you to dive in a second with your what leapt out at you was your big the biggest thing on your list, maybe, you know, the biggest win or the biggest disaster, whatever it was. I don't think you had a big disaster, but the biggest win on your list, really. I'll ask you to start with that, but I was just gonna add another little tip as well. 2 seconds, pal. There's somebody at the door. Give me 1 minute.
We'll pause there.
I'll tell you what, you dive in with your big win. Go for it, or whatever it was. Go. I'll be back in a tick.
Oh, right, okay, okay. I'll make a note of the time anyway. Yeah. Pause. That was quick. I haven't even started yet.
My mum was in. I didn't even realise my mum was in. She's answered right. The door.
Fabulous. I'm just making a note of the time to get rid of it, but I'll go straight in.
Oh, sorry. I'll tell you what. Then. I'll give you a second. I'll just go from where I... All I was going to say is the I have a lot of notepads lying around the house, and I'll be the first one to say that I don't always go back to reading the notes that I've written. But I believe that... I can't remember the exact science behind this, but I think the act of writing it down, it involves obviously a different part of your brain than just thinking about it. So it kind of, you're probably more likely to remember the stuff that you've written down than you are the stuff that you haven't written down, you know? So even if you don't go back to it, it's going to be more formed in your head as a, as something to remember. Anyway, crack on, buddy.
Totally. No, that's exactly the point, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Even typing, apparently, it doesn't, doesn't fire off the same... No, I was going to say, it doesn't have the same effect as...
Oh, it does not, no, yeah, well, that makes more sense then, yeah.
Yeah, not as much anyway, because mm-hmm. we've done it for that many years, apparently, like over thousands of years whenever we've been writing. Yeah, definitely. Cool, all right then. Well, in true...
You'll start off at 10.
In true binary fashion, I've got red pen and bad things on one side, and... green pen and good things on the other side. So where should I start?
You'd start where you want to start, buddy.
Well, let's go positive. Let's go positive. okay, so some wins this year. And I went through my calendar briefly and like glanced back over everything. This year, we have done a lot of great video stuff, which is probably point number one. We have worked with some big clients. We've got some new clients, and we've got some pretty cool companies and individuals who have been making the most of effective video in all manner of different industries again. I definitely am proud of the work that we've done this year, and it's definitely been the best that we've done, and it's only been improving really. So, you know, whilst the marketing and the positioning and everything like that is obviously as important, I'm kind of safe in the knowledge that the day-to-day stuff that I do is only ever getting better. I'm super proud of it, which is great. And in the pursuit of that, we've been all over the country, and we've been as far as Gdansk in Poland as well. And that was for a new client as well. And they've already booked us to go and do the same thing for another event in the same place for next year. So that's a good sign. It's a really
good business.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess linking to that, I'm quite proud that this year I spent a shit ton of money on equipment, which is always good for bringing the tax bill down. But obviously as well, it just is kind of a reflection of how well I've been doing. And it makes sure that I can do my job as good as I possibly can. And I get better end results for my clients and stuff. So that's great. So that's that. More recently, we spoke about this on a podcast recently. I have launched my one-to-one coaching/training program. So that is, I'm currently building up all of the different assets for that. So that should be launching pretty damn soon. It's something completely new for me, whilst I have been privy to folks like yourself who's been doing this type of thing for a while and in, you know, various guises with groups and memberships and all that type of thing. So I feel like I know what to do, but I haven't done it yet. So I'm aware that it's going to be a bit of a new thing, and it will come with its challenges and stuff, but I'm confident that it'll be good as well. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
Good man.
Yeah.
And what was the kind of spur then for, so it's been something we talked about this, talked about it on a podcast, didn't we, recently as well? But what was the spur? What was the thing that made you go from not doing it to putting it out there?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's somewhat annoyingly, it's something that I've been talking about and I've mentioned to you for ages, like probably at least a year. In fact, mm-hmm. I remember putting a a little status up on Facebook whilst we were in Dublin filming with Success Engineers in November of 2018, kind of saying, I'm thinking about starting this. Is it a good idea? And to be fair, lots of people weighed in and gave me their opinions and stuff. And that was a sort of a good starting point. But a group still didn't feel right. So since then, you know, I've been thinking, okay, I want to create a new income stream for my business. That's the main driver for it, really, is so that it's another source of revenue where I don't have to go out there with a camera and film. Mm-hmm. And also that I was aware that, you know, when I have helped people in the past, I've gotten good feedback and they've got loads of good stuff out of it. So it made sense to pursue that more officially, as it were. And so then I thought, okay, well, why don't I sort of scrap the group idea if that doesn't feel right? Because people are going to be at different levels of experience, and some people aren't going to give two hoots about, you know, cameras and stuff like that. They just want to make better videos with what they've got. And some people will want to invest thousands in the gear. So that was what was putting me off that. There's, you know, different people at different levels. So I thought, well, why not just treat it more individually then and have a group element to it, but mainly focus it on the individual. So again, just kind of asked the audience, as it were, and said, this is what I'm thinking. Anyone interested? And immediately three people were like, yep, I'm up for that. And I only want five anyway. So that was kind of the thing that got me over the edge for it.
Oh, cool. So was there a, so I'm asking again then. So was there a, what was the thing that made you do it? Can you remember what made you think, fuck it, I'm going to do it now?
I think it was kind of,
it just might not be, but I don't know. I'm just wondering. Yeah. I'm just curious.
I'd just been sat on it for so long, and you know, I still had,
if I don't do it, I'm never going to do it.
Yeah, basically. And one of the issues I've had this year, which I guess we'll come on to, which links to this, is that I've had too much on, and I'm at that point in my business where I've got the growing pains of needing some help, really. Like the amount of stuff I'm doing is silly for one person, really. So I had this, and I had like my accounts that all needed overhauling. I had different services and stuff that I wanted to be offering, and like loads in terms of marketing, and not much of it got done. Because I didn't sort of, well, just because there was too much for me to do, and I hadn't split up my time appropriately. So it was kind of just like, right, it's been about a year since you first asked anyone about this. You know, you could have launched this ages ago. Why don't you just ask people if this is a good idea and if they would sign up hypothetically and see what happens with no kind of obligation to do anything after that? So then I just did that, status up, and got some comments, and straight away it was like, yeah, that sounds great, I'm up for that. So it's like, okay, well, should have done that ages ago. But better late than never, obviously.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Some people never do it, so yeah, I totally agree. I wrote an email about this the other day, actually. Motion beats meditation, you know, and it almost always does. I mean, what I would say going forward now is I would, not that you're asking, but I'm going to tell you anyway. what I would say going forward is that, like, the finished thing still might look different to what you envisage it at the moment, you know, but it don't matter. Or it may even be that this thing, it may be that this thing will go on and be the thing that, you know, that you want it, that exactly what you want it to be, you know. But from my experience, sometimes it is, and then sometimes it isn't, you know. But the next thing will be, you know, but you won't get to that next thing until you do this thing, you know. And then that's I know that might sound really cryptic, but you've been an observer of my business virtually since I started doing the online, creating programs, writing books, all that kind of thing, and the coaching and everything. So you've seen all the different things that I've done, and some have worked and some haven't and stuff, haven't they? You know, and some haven't worked at a particular time, then a bit later they have worked, kind of thing, you know? So yeah, that's, but regardless, the lesson is, yeah, just fucking do it, you know, get on with it. And I would say now, going forward with it now, I would start talking. When are you thinking of pushing the button on it? December, January, or what?
I'd like it to be actually in place by sometime in December, to be fair. Yeah.
Right, cool. So I would start like building a waiting list for it now then. really, that would be the next best thing to do. But obviously through the email list and through your whatever stuff you're going to be putting out on Facebook and stuff. And I will be following up more. Just getting his pen and paper out, people. and I would be doing some direct mail with ex clients, because obviously, bar one, I think the two people who are interested are current clients. Am I right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So that tells us that's where they're coming from. Now, ultimately, obviously, we'll want to bring more people in from other parts of your world. Do you know what I mean? But for now, that's what the avatar is. And it's quite a strong avatar, actually, isn't it? You've got a certain demographic, female of a certain age, wanting to do certain things. Their business will be at a certain size, you know. So you've got people to target now through that. And that, so that's what I would do. I'll build up a waiting list for the email list, and obviously less stuff. You're gonna have time to do less stuff on social, you know. But it still doesn't do any harm to put a bit out there. But mainly the email list, get people to click onto so basically be talking about it. Be talking about the thing. Be talking about it as you're building it. You know, that will build excitement. Get people to click onto a link in your emails to go onto a waiting list, so that they're the first people to hear about it. They'll be able to get in at like a founder's rate, you know, all this kind of thing. And then bingo, you'll hopefully get nearer to your five what you want, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, even if it's just three, it's still brilliant, you know. But like give yourself the best chance of success. So, and this is the main thing that you're working on at the moment, I believe, apart from your editing and stuff, isn't it? So this is where I would be putting all of my marketing efforts.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, definitely. Yeah.
Is that useful?
Yeah, totally. Because I want to hype it as much as possible and treat it like a campaign, as it were. So rather than just saying like, oh, it's launched now, you know, and that's it. It doesn't have the same impact, does it? So totally. Mm-mm. Yeah, nice one, man. Thank you. Good advice.
So yeah, I'd potentially even start doubling up on emails, really. I would maybe just go two a week or... you know, and like I said, they don't need to be, when you're doing something like this, similarly, actually, a good example would be my book, my Pet Business Plan book, you know, and so I've just done the profit Kickstarter, and now at the time as we're recording this, I'm pre-selling the pre-launch of the Ultimate Pet Business Plan. And so I kind of woke up on Monday and I was like, right, what am I going to sell today? You know, that's how my brain works. And I started by offering like a call. I offered like a discovery call type thing on Monday, because I've done that before. And I didn't really like the idea of it. But anyway, I wrote an email and did that. And then I think later on in the day, I must have just been thinking, oh, why don't you just fucking talk about the book? You know what I mean? And sell some copies of the book, like pre-sell some copies of the book, get them in. And perfect time to do it, really, in many ways, because I've just done the proper Kickstarter launch. Obviously, lots of people did the webinar. A good few people bought into it, the program. Loving it in there, but obviously lots of more people didn't buy the program. So this is a great thing for me to say, hey, you didn't buy that, but you probably will like this, you know? So I'm pre-launching that. Now, when I'm writing emails like that, they don't write themselves. They're the easiest things in the world to write, because I've got a book's worth of content, you know what I mean? That I'm basically just saying, or even I've got 12 case studies in there as well, you know, from different pet business owners. I've got maybe a dozen reviews at the front. So there, even just with the case studies and the reviews, there's like 25 emails I've got. But you know, that's apart from me talking about the 7 golden rules or the 3 different phases of the pet business journey or what blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? And yours would be similar in a way, because as you're mapping out what this coaching is going to be in your head, you can just write a little email about it, you know? Hey, just wanted to, you know, don't normally email on a Tuesday, but you know, I've been putting together this thing for this new coaching thing that I'm doing with people who, you know, want to do blah, blah, blah. And just wanted to share it with you. By the way, you know, if you're interested, get yourself on the waiting list here. It's going to launch in December. It's going to be fucking epic, blah, 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 again. You know? More excitement, definitely. Definitely more excitement, more emails than normal.
Yeah, totally. I like it. Cool. Yeah, spot on. I will do that then.
good lad. So what's it? Give me a bad thing then.
Oh, okay. We'll go on to the other side of the paper.
This is where he announces that he's terminating his relationship with me live, live on a teleclass.
I'm sacking you. No, mate. Definitely not. Definitely not. The first thing I put was no second book yet, because there isn't a second book yet. There kind of is in a way, because I wanted to have a second book out this year. It hasn't happened, but I always thought, well, the easiest and perhaps one of the best things to do would be to repurpose my emails that you just mentioned, because I've got so many and I've got them all in a Scrivener document. So they're just all ready to go. And I know that they're really good. So why don't I just repurpose them and put, not just slap them together, but like, I started thinking about it earlier in the year and I was like, right, I can identify like four different themes here and like four categories. So I'll just put the emails, I'll split the book into four and put the different emails into those categories. You know, I thought, right, brilliant. And it just hasn't happened this year. There's been too much other shit going on basically, that it just hasn't kind of happened. But that being said, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. And my first book has been doing well in the sense that it's reached lots of people and I've given it out to lots of people and copies have been sold and whatnot. Even just the other week when we were filming with Success Engineers in York, there was a chap there who was asking about what we do and, you know, see the cameras and stuff. It's like, oh, is this what you do? And he was like, I'd love to get your card. And I was like, well, I don't have a card, but I've got a book I can give you. And straight away, he was like, oh, wow, a book, really? It's like, yeah, I've got some copies in the car. Go grab you one. Signed it for him and that, put my email inside.
They start looking for your wings and your halo, don't they?
They do, yeah. It is magic. It's really, it's just so powerful. So that's the other side of that. So, yeah, realistically, there's not a whole lot that needs to be done to feasibly get another book out. It's not going to be as in-depth or as long as the first one. So, and I, you know, kind of what we were just saying before, I've done it once, so I know what the process is going to be for this one, and I know that, you know, certain things are going to take longer, like the, you know, potentially getting covers and proofread and stuff like that. That all takes longer than you expect, doesn't it? So I'm aware of that before the fact, so that should hopefully bode well.
I'll just to comment on that then, and because this, what I'm going to say, not just relevant for you but relevant for obviously a lot of my guys have been writing books this year, haven't they? Diamond, platinum members especially. We think there's maybe three or four people who've written a book this year, maybe it's people who wrote a book previously about the second book, and we've got a number of books kind of either going to the proofreaders or they're in the mix like for early next year, you know, and that's why I think we'll double the amount of authors that we have from this year and next year for sure. I mean, more than double, wow. You know, double the amount of new authors, I should say. But what I was going to say is that more so for you, buddy, with what you do, that the first book that you write is very much, it's very much a business card, like you say, you know, it's very much a, this is not strictly true, but in a way, your first book, really, it doesn't really matter if you never sell a copy of it, because it's there for those reasons. So it's there for you to say, no, I haven't got a business card, but I've got a book, you know?
Yeah.
Or it's when somebody messages on Facebook for you to say, hey, Leonard, I'm busy at the moment, but ping me your address and I'll send you a book. I'll send you a copy of my book and a questionnaire, and we'll see if we're a good fit together. Do you know what I mean? That's what you're using. So dog trainers, they're using a book similar way. You know, someone books an appointment, they book them in for a consultation, and before the consultation, they send the book to them, you know? And then so that when they turn up, they never get the prices queried or nothing like that. You know, what it's for. However, that said, and obviously I've embarked a bit more on this year with that there is scope, especially with Kindle and stuff like that now, to do more like microy type books. And I think, yeah, you were talking about doing that anyway, when it was going to be a lot smaller version, wasn't it? I think it should deal with like just one thing, really, you know? Like literally how to make a promo video on your phone or something like that, you know? It should be like a promo video for your small business on your phone or something. Make it like, I would just make it like a 20 or a 30 page book, you know, 50 max, honest. And just wang it out there. It'll act as a nice bit of lead generator for your next book. And I think, yeah, I think people would be much more likely to read something like that that's going to solve one particular problem.
Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's what I think about that.
Cool. Interesting. It does make sense, though, yeah, to just focus on one issue.
Well, certainly that's where I'm going more with Mike. Right, so I'll come totally clean with you. That's where I'm going more with what I'm doing now. So obviously I've written the Ultimate Pet Business Plan. That's still only a shortish book, isn't it? Not even 100 pages. But it gives people a business plan, you know? But the next dog training book that I'm writing is going to be a very short recall book. And then I'm going to, with hindsight, I said this to somebody the other day, I can't remember what it was. With hindsight, I would have split up the Perfect Puppy Project into three little books.
Right.
And I still might do that. Just because, I don't know, I think people are going to be more, certainly people who are on a Kindle and that, and people want answers to quite specific problems these days, I think, you know. And some people will want to know everything and they'll read everything that you produce, you know, anyway. But I think you've got more chance of bringing more people into your world if you provide a little micro solutions to their little micro problems. It's just like what we would do with lead generation, isn't it? You know, if you would produce a lead gen, you would just say, you know, three things you need to do with your puppy before on the first day you bring them home or something like that, you know. Well, that's going to then appeal to people who have just getting a puppy, you know. So that's the only reason. I'm not saying that I'm right, but that's the reason why I'm recommending you go quite micro with it, you know, because then as well, even if people, like, I'm writing the next book I'm writing, as I say, is I'm gonna try and get it before Christmas. Actually, I'm gonna do it really quick and dirty, rapid recall recipe. And it's going to be like quite a short thing, just help you to get your dog to the recall. Basically, the same stuff as we did in the recall course that we videoed a few years ago, remember? And then I'm just going to get it out there, and I'm doing it more as a little experiment to see, like, right, what is the difference here? If I only spend 2 weeks on a book and 100 quid on the cover, what difference does it make to the sales on the front end to me spending 3 to 6 months on a book and spending a lot more on the proofread and all that kind of thing, you know? And if it might crash and burn, I don't know. But if it turns out that I can get away with it, then fuck me, I'll be doing more of them. But even if somebody turned around and said, like, oh, well, you know, it's just a little shitty 30, 40 page book or something, I could turn around and say, well, hang on a minute, I've got a whole fucking raft of them here that you can, you know, if you want something a bit more meaty. And then you could say the same thing, you know, because you've got your main, like your hero book, you know, like your sort of your big one, you know, which positions you as a big expert kind of thing. So yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I like it, definitely. And I think that it's just more accessible for people, isn't it? And it's less of a, oh, I've got a book to read now kind of thing, which I think for some people is a bit much. Some people will love it, but others, like if someone was to hand me a book like that, you know, like role reversal, if I'd been out and seen someone, they're like, oh, I've got a book, I'd be like, wow, that's really impressive, but I'm probably not going to read this soon. But if it was something that I could, that was much more easily digestible, and I thought, oh, this is going to help fix this very specific problem, I just think the uptake will be greater for sure. And then they're more likely to go on to the, like you say, the hero book, aren't they, anyway?
So. Exactly, you know. And some people will just skip anyway. They'll just skip straight to the big sale, you know, the actual buy and the service type of thing. But yeah, brill. All right, cool. did you have any other duffers, or was that the other main ones?
Well, the most appropriate one is just that my marketing's not consistent, which has been the case, like, forever. But... yeah, it's just frustrating. Like, I kind of know all the things that I should be doing, and it's just literally, I think, a case of carving out the time and making a proper schedule, like, for every week to make sure this stuff happens. Because I think what's really tripped me up this year, we've been so successful with the video projects and stuff, which is excellent, obviously, but it's just meant that, like, like a lot of weeks over the summer this year, I did virtually no marketing activity because I was just, like, buried with client work. which is a nice problem to have, but at the same time, it's not great, obviously. So I think that, well, I know for a fact, and I want to do this week really, is make, like I said, like a weekly thing where it's like, right, this is when I email. And I'll tell you what has kind of triggered this mainly. You know Mike Samuels? Mm-hmm. Listeners might know Mike Samuels, copywriter. He's a great guy to follow. An email of his recently.
I interviewed him for the teleclass once, actually, yeah.
Oh, right, cool, awesome. Yeah, yeah, no, he's a good guy. He's a nice guy, too. I met him a long time ago, but yeah, he's great. But he said something in his email. It's like, your followers should be able to set their watch to what you do because you should be consistent enough so that they know, like, it doesn't have to, you know, you can be as specific as you want kind of thing. But like, he was like, so for me, they know that, you know, a couple of times a week, I'll put up a Facebook thing and it'll be quite sarcastic and it'll be quite tongue in cheek because that's his style. Mm-hmm. People expect to see that. And then they also know that they'll get an email once a week. It'll probably be towards the start of the week. It doesn't have to be on the same day. They know it's going to be a bit on the longer side. And that's all fine, but the point being that they know it's gonna pretty much when it's gonna come, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to create for me, really. The emails are consistent and stuff, but again, just that across the board. I want to make it. we're so busy and we're so we've got so much going on, but I feel like our marketing doesn't reflect that, and I feel like it should because. Mm. I want us to be seen as like a big deal and that we know what the hell we're doing and that we are different and all the rest of it. And we're not just a video company who'll make any video because we won't. Like, oh, I want to communicate all of this stuff, you know, so that it's like really obvious. So yeah, that's probably the biggest gripe I've got at the moment. I could live without the second book kind of thing, even though it's related, but that's the primary thing.
I think I wouldn't beat yourself up too much about it because, like, you've put a bit of direct mail out this year, and your emails have been fairly consistent as far as I can.
That's
tell.
True. We need to put that on the good column, the newsletter.
Yeah, you really do. And I think this is probably probably more reflective of the fact that it's the busyness factor that you need to fix. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not like you can't write the emails because all the emails that you write are brilliant and the quality is really high and they're entertaining, etc. But so it wouldn't, because I would just say to you a similar thing to what I probably would say to you when you were in America that time, remember? And I said, like, I would have loved to have some kind of update about it, you know? And which wouldn't have been difficult for you to do. And it wouldn't be difficult for you to... be more consistent with your emails, even if you're just talking about stuff that you're doing, even if you're just talking about the fact that you're so busy, you know?
Yeah.
However, it's difficult to do that when you're so busy that you can't, you can't pull your head out of your, whatever the editing or the planning or whatever it is that you're doing to sit and do it. So I think it's probably, do you know what I mean? It's not like you aren't going to be able to do more marketing probably until you fix the busyness side of it.
Yeah. It's a good point.
No?
Yeah. And I think, and to be fair, yeah, I think part of like the core problem really is probably that I'm quite bad at managing time, well, in general, but for like editing projects and stuff, you know. A lot of the time they end up being quicker than I think, and it's like, oh god, I've got this huge thing to edit. Then when I actually sit down, it's like, oh, I've done loads there, actually. That's not as time consuming as I thought, but I think we could definitely be better with, like, okay, we've got this film and project coming up in 2 weeks' time, so then the next, maybe not for the whole 3 or 4 weeks after, but like for example, for 3 days a week for the next 2 weeks, that's when we're editing that, and that'll make sure that that project gets done in this amount of time, you know, rather than now where it's like, well, I'll edit it as soon as I can. I'll get it done as soon as I can, which is too like loose. It's too vague, especially when there's other stuff going on. Because then it's like, you know, I wake up and I say, oh God, what do I need to work on today? Well, this is the most pressing thing. I'll do that. Okay, now I've done that. Now I need to desperately do this really quickly. Oh, now there's some amendments on this first thing. I need to go back and do that. And it's like, there's no structure to it really. So that's definitely, because when that gets done, like you say, when that problem gets addressed, then the marketing and stuff should work much more easily.
Yeah, definitely. And it's having the headspace, isn't it, for it, you know, like the,
yeah,
you know, if your head's constantly thinking, what am I doing next? Yeah. This editing again, isn't it? It's like a perennial, it's just a huge part of what you do, isn't it? Like you say, and a huge unseen part of what you do, I guess.
Totally. Yeah. And I think just to wrap up my bit, because I guess we're probably about halfway through now. And that was this is another thing that it kind of bridges good and bad. We do have these growing pains at the moment where we've got so much to be doing that I really need some help doing it. Uh-huh. So Naomi, who helps me on a lot of shoots as well, and we've done loads this year together, which has been awesome. Uh-huh. And she's done a lot of editing as well. In fact, I've given her some regular editing for someone. I guess we'll probably just need more of that, really. And, you know, Naomi's doing her own thing, and I don't want to overload her with loads of work and stuff, but we probably are at the point where I can outsource some of it. Maybe start establishing some connections with people who could not necessarily work all the time, but, like, you know, I could feed them editing work here and there or something like that. Because otherwise it's just silly. It's just silly to expect me to be able to do that plus the marketing. And I think we've talked about this before, but, like, really I need to be doing the marketing. That's a priority for me to do rather than someone else, obviously, isn't it? You know, it's the same with you. You know, you've got the dog walk side pretty much taken care of most of the time so that you can concentrate on the coaching side of the business and obviously the marketing for both of them as well. Yeah, which I guess is kind of a nice segue into... Throw the question straight back at you. Tell me about that. Was really good, by the way. That was it's good. It's good to chat about it, and I've got some great pointers from you there. So thank you.
You're welcome, buddy. You're welcome.
But yeah, tell me about your 2019. You can start with either side that you want.
Okay. It's been a good year. It's been a really good year.
Oh well, we'll end it there then.
Yeah, no, it's been a good year. It's been really enjoyable for the most part. I'm kind of finishing. I'm just shooting a little doggy out. Go and sit over there. Why should not the cables up? Go on, bugger off. It's just little Thor. It's not big bad Derek. But,
you wouldn't speak to him like that.
Yeah, you get much worse than that. Oh, Thor, piss off. Go on, you're going to knock the computer over. Lie down. I'll tell you what, I'll shift this and then you can lie. Right, there you go. Come on, I'll rearrange my fucking life around you. Go on.
It wouldn't be a podcast or a teleclass with someone who is in the dog industry without this. Oh, look at that. Yeah, hey, buddy.
He's a cute little button, actually, isn't he?
Oh, he's lush. So
you're a good boy. He's chucked a bit, now he's on the chair. Anyway, great audio entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Trust us, he's cute.
I'm finishing on a bit of a high, really, which I guess I'll talk about. I'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, Jesus, so much. The big highlights. And big highlights were kind of impact. I think.
That was on my good list as well, was impact, because that was ace. That was a real standout.
And then like personal win for you as well, you know, I think for the what you did there, yeah?
Yes, yeah, no, definitely. Uh-huh. Sorry, continue.
I know there's still things on that list, mate. Don't worry, we'll get to them. impact was a big win. It basically did everything that I wanted to do. I could have done a few things a little bit better, but they were more to do with the sales process and stuff like that. But and I would have liked, obviously, you always want a few more people in the room, you know, that's just like natural. It's the same as you want a few more people in your program, and I want a few more people buying the book, etc. It's like you always want a few more. But I think overall, and certainly, I think it was the perfect transition from the boot camps that we did previously, because they were like a really hard act to follow, weren't they? I mean, my first ever boot camp in 2017 was like, was good, and it really hit the spot, but I will say I was fairly new to doing something like that, a 2-day event. And I had too much content and that kind of thing, but I really tightened it all up for the 2018 boot camps, dog walkers and the dog trainers ones, and like the feedback that we got back from them was like fucking off the charts, wasn't it? And I knew that, I knew they'd really hit the spot. But rather than just repeat those again, I wanted to do something a bit different, a bit bigger, a bit better. And Impact became the thing that I did, and I ended up turning it into a bit of a 3-day event. So there was the PBIC Friday, and then the main event Saturday, and then kind of the hot seats and stuff on the Sunday. And yeah, I mean, it was just like stellar, wasn't it? You know, there wasn't a, it was hard class. Work. And like, we learned a lot about workload and that, didn't we, then as well. And we kind of fixed that a bit for Tour de Rescue, which we'll talk about in a bit, because Normsy came along, didn't she? And helped out a lot with that. And so we probably, for next year's Impact, we need to remember that we need maybe, you know, more hands. But saying that, I feel like I'll need more hands help, regardless of the stuff that you're doing anyway, you know, because obviously with more numbers, it just means more of everything, you know, more t-shirts, more lanyards, more, you know what I mean? Or it just, and sounds pathetic, but it's like, it all fucking adds up, all this stuff, you know? And like, which obviously means that, you know, there'll be a couple of more problems, you know, and I can't be, I can't be the one to sort that out. I want to be the one who sorts that out, you know? But so I think Impact this year, although it went like really well, but I think it kind of pushed me to my limits of organization, you know? And I didn't nail it, but it was, I think going forward next year, more people coming, etc. I have to have more helpers. Something I've been thinking about that this week, actually, when I've been putting the ledger together. But just quickly from your point of view, how do you feel like it went compared to the events the previous year?
I think it was brilliant.
How did it went compared to events that you go elsewhere as well?
Oh yeah, that's a good question actually. Yeah, well, I think it was definitely like a lot tighter and a lot better organized than we had done in the past. Not that they were bad, but it was just an improvement, you know. And it just felt. I think it was helped by like the bigger room and bigger numbers and stuff like that. But it just felt like more of a big deal as soon as you went in. And you could tell that it was like, you know, this hasn't been cobbled together. This is something that has had like a proper marketing campaign before it, and it's got a clear purpose, and it's got all these different speakers, and just kind of the whole package was more pro, I would say, for sure. And I think, yeah, I would just echo your point about and it was my fault, really, the workload. It was like, yeah, sure, I can film it all and talk on the second day, and I'll get Norms to help us with that, but that's the only thing I'll need help with. And it was just way too much. Like, we got it done, for sure, but it was a bit much to be doing, really. Aside from that, I think it was great. And like you say, the feedback we got from people was excellent. I don't feel like we overwhelmed them. Mm-hmm. I feel like the PBIC peeps got loads out of it as well, with obviously the Friday and stuff like that. The evening was fab. It was, yeah. And to be honest, like even that itself was like organized brilliantly, because it felt like a proper awards dinner. Well, it was, wasn't it? You know, it was like our own little mini awards dinner. And for other events I've been to, sometimes the evening can feel a bit like, I don't know, a bit like slapped together, and a bit like, oh, well, we'll go out for some food and we'll kind of see what happens, and then that's it. But this was, I don't know, you felt like more, more part of the event, I think that's how people would have felt, you know, like the people attending.
Certainly that was the feedback, and I've no doubt that it wasn't absolutely perfect, but you know, it was for the differentness that it was in the previous years, I was really delighted. And
absolutely,
yeah, so next year, stepping it up again. We've got like a workshop Friday this time, so you and Vicky and Rachel are all going to be doing workshops, which means that People are going to get more hands-on help with their video and their book writing and their press stuff. We've got Amy coming along too. We've got like a gala dinner on the Friday this time, where people are going to be able to get professional photographs with all of the speakers, including Amy Smith, like I say, who's literally just booked her flights. Did you see the video?
I did, yes. I did see that. So great news.
Super exciting for that. She's embarking on an online addition to her thing as well, which I told her to do ages ago, and but she's finally doing that. And so she's going to be the keynote speaker on the Saturday, obviously, where so the Saturday it'll be pretty immense again, and then the Sunday is going to be on a really different level, really. I'm not doing the hot seats this time, but I am doing this is Day with Dom. We're doing like a bit of a money Sunday, really. A bit of a money how to ensure you've got a premium priced brand, how to attract premium priced clients, you know, which makes everything so much easier. So I've just talked about this in my ledger, and I've coined a phrase, Alex, which I'm delighted with. I've coined a phrase called premium pounds. And premium pounds, although they spend the same as regular pounds, they're a lot easier to earn. And they're a lot more satisfying to earn than regular pounds. They take less effort, less hours, and less, well, just as much marketing actually is what normal pounds do, but it's much, you have a much happier business. And I think my business has been all the better for the fact that I've been earning premium pounds than regular pounds. And so I'm going to be going sort of deep into that, really, because it's been instrumental, you know, to my whole business journey. And I've talked quite a lot over the last couple of months about the store debacle and that kind of thing. But I think what the point I don't want people to miss from that whole store thing is that, like, I built the store with Hannah, and then it went tits up, and then I rebuilt another one, you know, I rebuilt another Shopify store and all the associated costs that came with that, more stock, etc., Google ads, everything like that. We're talking, yeah, 10 grand at least, you know, invested in that. Didn't like it. Didn't work. You know, it didn't work as well. It wasn't just that I didn't like it. It didn't work. I wasn't very good at it, but I was able to bounce back from that, like, almost straight away. I mean, virtually what I would say, Alex, is when me and you met, actually, that was kind of the end of the store and then the start of the next start of the journey, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when we started to work together and stuff, and it wasn't like I kind of met you and I kind of said, well, oh, fuck, like, I've just spent all this money on this store. You know, I'd love to use you, but I can't afford to for the next 6 months, kind of thing. But why did I wasn't able to do that? Because of the premium nature of my business, of my bricks and mortar business, you know? And this is what I want people, this is what the peeps who certainly come to the Sunday are going to be able to have as well. So if you haven't upgraded to Sunday yet, then you need to send me a message so that I can send you a link so you can get your ass to that. But really good. On that note as well, and on the impact note, I didn't, because of impact and my rush to get the perfect puppy project book out, like, it literally arrived the day of the impact from the printers, because fucking DFS or whoever it was, or DPD had lost the bloody DFS. They do furniture, don't they? DPD, DPD had lost the fucking parcel. Anyway, it turned up just in time. But I was in such a rush to get that done that those people who, the first 100 people who got the book, it actually says the perfect puppy recipe on the spine. Because that was the working title for the book. But anyway, because of that, I kind of fucked up that book launch because of impact. And then I was kind of wiped out after impact. And so I kind of botched that whole launch thing, really, which is why maybe I'm tempted, like I say, to go back. We might have to wait until probably mid next year to do that, but I'm definitely tempted to go back and repurpose that as like another three little books or another five little books even, you know. But anyway, that's for another day. The impact event was the only main marketing event that I did as well. The second event of the year was the Tour de Rescue, and talk about the Tour de Rescue quickly in a second, but obviously, yeah, when I finished the Tour de Rescue, I was a bit like, all right, okay, like, normally this time of the year I've got like an event in October that I've got to push and I've got to sell tickets for and stuff like that, and now I don't have anything. And at that event, I normally sell stuff as well, so like, what am I going to do now to promote, to fill this gap in the promotional calendar, you know, and the revenue making calendar type of thing, if you like. So So yeah, so I've kind of, well, we might talk about that on the next call, actually, which I think we'll probably do for the Diamond Peeps. We'll talk a bit more about what we're going to do next year on the next call for them. Another reason for you guys to upgrade to Diamond, yeah? You get a lot more insight into exactly what's going on in my world, and this time in Alex as well. But yeah, Tour de Rescue was a massive highlight as well. I still, in a way, I can't believe that we did it. Again, nothing perfect about it at all. You know, it was very rough and ready, but and we would like to have raised a bit more cash, and a couple of things didn't work, etc. I think overall, and the legacy of it is certainly going to live on in the videos and in the, we're going to repurpose the audio as well, aren't we? The new podcast and stuff like that as well. So the rescuers who were involved are going to get the opportunity to have the light shined upon them for a long time, hopefully, which will help them. But yeah, it was a brilliant thing. I was so pleased to do it with yourself as well. A couple of bad things. I still haven't outsourced as much as I should have. I do really have a plan for that now, and I kind of know how it's going to work. I think if I hadn't done what I'm doing over the last couple of months of the year, I would have gone into the end of the year a bit disappointed, you know, a bit kind of, all right, you did them things well, but like you missed a couple of really good big tricks here, you know. But I think I'm so on top of my calendar, really, much more so than I was last year, that I'm keeping up with stuff. I only really fell behind with the ledges this year when the Tour de Rescue happened, and we caught back up again now. This one's gone out like first week in December, which is exactly when it should go out. So I'm well ahead of the game like that. And overall, like really, really happy, but I've had to do like a big push. So I am going to go into hibernation for the winter and just kind of not do very much to recuperate. But I'm looking forward to that as well. Any final thoughts from yourself?
No, it's awesome, man. Brilliant. Not really. I think, you know, just from a third person perspective, it looks like you've had an ace year. You've, as usual, you've done absolutely loads. You've released loads of new stuff, and you've built on existing stuff, and you've tried new stuff. And it's kind of from strength to strength. And I think it's just always good how honest you are about how it's gone, you know. And it's clear that you're proud of what you've done, and you recognize where it can be improved and stuff like that. And you're not someone who just says like, oh yeah, it's all been great, and you know, we've done X, Y, Z. It's clear that you're very upfront about kind of pretty much everything that goes on. And I think that is, I don't know, it's just to be commended, and people can learn a lot from that, you know, and people should listen closely when someone is honest enough to say, you know, here's what's gone right and here's what's gone wrong and here's how you can learn from it. That's, you need to pay attention for that stuff. So no, man, bravo. So you've had a pretty damn good year.
Yeah, pretty damn good. And we've cracked on with the house a bit. Bathrooms.
It's that long since I've seen you that I haven't seen half of what's been done.
No, you haven't, buddy. Yeah, we'll have to, we're going to have a night at Jimmy's, aren't we? So we'll maybe organise a day. We'll have a day over here doing something.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We'll hook back up and that kind of thing. But brilliant, fantastico. So we're gonna record another one of these, and that will go to the Diamond Peeps, and they'll get a bit more detail, and they'll get a bit more of our plans for next year as well. And but for the PBIC, I just want to say well done to all members of the PBIC. Well done to everybody who stepped up this year, finally invested either in the Profit Kickstarter, which brought you into the PBIC, or you bought a ticket for Impact, or whatever, however you came into my world, like, well done, you know, they're like, you're here now, make the fucking most of it, you know, get your head down, turn up for the Q&As, take part in the Achievement Fridays, read the fucking ledgers, you know, read them. There's a seminar in every ledger that I send out. Honestly, there's money making advice in every single ledger that I send out. And without blowing too much smoke on my own ass, I just had a really nice compliment the other day from Vicky about stuff that I'm sending out as well. But Alex will back this up as well. I'll get Alex to say it so that I'm not saying it. I've touched on it before about the events and stuff, Alex, and all right, without naming names and stuff like that, the stuff that we're doing, and we've done John's stuff and all that as well, it's up there, isn't it?
Completely. Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
And see, yeah, obviously the people on the inner circle, the private coach guys, they kind of know that, you know, but I think obviously there's some people in the PBIC who are thinking, well, is it, you know, it can't be just as easy as increasing your prices. No, no, it isn't just as easy as that. But the things that I'm talking about are the things that are going to get you to where you want to be, you know, without fucking around on social media, all this kind of thing. And anyway, sorry, yeah. Carry on.
No, I was just going to say, you know, as part of my role and what we've come to kind of specialize in a way, I've been to a lot of events over the past 2-3 years. And completely honestly, yours have been among the best, because there's some that I've been to, which have been in different industries and stuff, but, you know, teaching similar concepts, which have just been like, what have I just listened to? Like, yeah, they'd be useful perhaps to people who are literally just starting out and haven't heard this type of stuff before. But beyond that, not really. But yours are so, and all of your content, really, all the stuff that you put out there is based on actionable advice more than anything else, because you clearly see that there's no point in kind of giving out wishy-washy or woo advice or anything like that, because people can't implement it. But so what you do instead is kind of use tried and tested stuff and things that you've done, or that you, again, like you said, people like John have taught and that they've done, because you know that it works, and you spell it out very clearly. And so, yeah, to write, it's the shit. It's definitely up there. So it's stuff to be paid attention to.
For sure. And thank you as well, mate, for your contributions to everything that I've done this year. And I'm very much looking forward to next year as well. Got a couple of new things to tell you about as well. So that's going to be exciting too. But no, well done to you.
And thank you, mate. Likewise. It's
coming together nicely. And yeah. Thanks again, Alex. Thank you, PBIC peeps. Have a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. And we'll see
Merry Christmas, everyone.
On the flip side.
All right. See you later.